and I declare the winner of the 2019 Brownlow Medal, Nathan Fife of the Fremantle Football Club.
Shade from the mound. Needs to be in perfect.
Hello all and welcome back to another episode of the Centre Square Podcast and Sport FM 91.3, your football head callers. After a lot of the fans wanting more requests for shortened episodes throughout this self-isolated time, we've got a West Coast Eagles player on the phone with us. But before we introduce him, I've got Ethan Roth and Noah Tonkin on the phone as well. Boys, how are we going?
Yeah, good, Bray. Good to be back for another episode, even though it's a shortened one. But yeah, Noah, good to have you back on for another episode.
Yeah, no, it's my first footy episode of the year. No, it's good to be here.
All right, so as I mentioned, we have West Coast Eagles top-up player from the Waffle last year after impressing at amateur level for North Beach in 2018. He was picked up by West Coast on the list for the 2020 season, wearing number 46, it's Nick Reid.
Yeah, first off, obviously we assume you've played a lot of footy at North Beach prior to being on the West Coast list. How enjoyable was that?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I guess that's why, you know, I probably didn't give it a crack for, you know, a number of years, just because it's, you boys probably know, it's quite enjoyable just having a kick with the boys and sort of having a beer on the weekends and those sorts of things. So, you know, I played obviously juniors at North Beach and then ended up playing in the A-grade team. So I was down there for probably, you know, 12, 13 years. So I guess it's a really good community club and, you know, I've met some really good people down there. So I guess, yeah, that's probably the main reason that I was so late to being able to give it a crack and, you know, branch off and finally play some waffle footy.
Yeah, and were you, like, playing seriously, like, down ammos, or was it just, like, for a bit of fun?
It was probably a bit of both, to be honest. It's, for those that have played A-grade footy, I reckon it's getting better every single year. So, in terms of the actual competition down there, I reckon it's really, really good. So I just think it's got that good level of, you know, boys that can actually play, but also, you know, they enjoy a good time as well. So I think for me, at around 18 to 22, that was sort of the perfect blend of where I was at right then and there.
Yeah. And so were you ever in any, like, development squads or talent academies, or was it just club footy always through?
Nah, so I was in the Claremont zone. So I grew up in Trigg. So I was in the Claremont zone and played 13s, 14s and 15s, 16s development for Claremont. And then I had my first Claremont Colts year in 2012. So I was 16 then. And then, yeah, I'm not too sure. I probably got turned off a bit in terms of, I guess, the level of commitment you needed. So I sort of threw in the towel halfway through the year and just picked up again at North Beach. And then that was me ever until 2019. So I was always part of the junior leagues at Claremont. But then, yeah, I sort of parted ways in 2012.
Yeah, cool. Was it like a dream back then to play in the AFL, or did you only just decide in 2018 when you were playing Amos that you wanted to play in the, like, highest level?
Probably... Nah, footy was always the dream. Like, it's always what I wanted to do when I was year five until probably when I got to year 12 at school. And that's when, you know, that was 2012. But yeah, I grew up, I was part of the state 15s and the state 16s. So yeah, for me, like being at high school, primary school, I was super passionate. That's all I wanted to do was, you know, get picked up by an AFL club. But I probably lost my way a little bit, you know, when I got to the later stages of high school in terms of commitment and those sorts of things. But yep. Always been a dream when I was younger, for sure.
Yeah. So when you did end up getting your call up, when did they start to approach you? Was it during the year?
Not really. Everything, like, yeah. Everything sort of happens towards the back end of the year. So for me, I injured my finger at the start of the year, so I didn't play waffle footy until I think it was round six against South. So for me, I had a late start already in terms of going into the year. So I didn't have any communication, and then I just, you know, played some decent footy and tried to, you know, stay in the park. And then, yeah, I guess it was probably, I think first bit of dialogue I had with any club was the start of November. So about 2-3 weeks before the draft. And that was mainly West Coast.
Yeah. Cool.
Did you expect to be a regular in the side, impressing so many people in a side that went to make finals?
I think initially, you know, because two years ago, I was just having a kick around playing amateurs. I probably didn't know where I was going to be at. So, although last year, the reason I gave Waffle a go was because I still thought I could, you know, try give AFL a crack. So I wanted to impress, but obviously never playing a game of Waffle before. I wasn't really aware of, I guess, the tempo and like the pace of the game and things like that. So I reckon it took me a few games to sort of break through and get used to the tempo. And then I sort of started to find my rhythm there and play some better footy each week, I thought.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, everyone wouldn't get to train with each other because some guys, or most of the guys, are AFL listed and got the top-up players. So, like, was it hard to, like, adapt and, like, with all the guys coming in and out? And, like, was it difficult to get a real game plan or style?
Yeah, good question. I mean, it was our inaugural year, so we're sort of, you know, trying a few things. But in terms of what the coaches did, being, you know, mainly Luke Webster, Nico and Chance Bateman, they were really good. So we trained twice a week. And then for those who didn't have or could get work commitments off or, you know, were a few boys were studying, we'd join in the captain's run on a Friday. So, you know, we actually had a fair bit to do with the AFL squad, which is good. So in terms of our sort of chemistry on the field, I reckon we gelled quite quickly. So I think, yeah, the program that was in place last year for the Waffle was, really, really smooth, I thought, considering it was first year too.
Yeah, cool. We understand that you were also a teacher at Kareen High School when you were, like, first employed as a Waffle player in 2019. What was that like trying to manage, like, playing for the West Coast Eagles Waffle side and also having, like, a full-time job?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I've been a high school teacher since 2018. So I graduated uni at the end of 2017, so 2 years. So I think for me, in terms of management with going into Waffle last year, I thought I handled it quite well, considering I feel once you've had a year in the system in terms of teaching, you sort of, again, a bit like what I was saying with, you know, finding my feet in Waffle, you sort of get the rhythm and those sorts of things. So in terms of management, initially it was probably a little bit of a struggle because I wasn't used to the amount we were training, but I guess you find your feet and you... it's balance at the end of the day. So, again, the Waffle setup was really good. So they, you know, they knew the Waffle top-ups had work commitments and that was our main income coming through. So they accommodated there and they were pretty flexible with that, which was good.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. And going into this season, so how early did you start training with the Eagles, the AFL, and like, what was the advice you and Jermaine Jones were given from, like, the coaches or staff about what you needed to do to get on the main
league? It's pretty awkward for me. Just so when I was a part of that SSP program for the last 3 months. From I came on board, I think, at the start of January. So I was training full time with the boys, but I actually had a shoulder surgery middle of December. So that was like a reconstruction. So I actually wasn't training with the boys. I was doing just my own sort of thing with rehab and physio and that stuff. So although I was, you know, inside the system full time, a lot of it was spent with the, you know, strength and conditioning staff and physios getting my shoulder right. So I didn't get to train too much with the main boys, which initially was hard, but I guess it was just part of the plan, really. With they wanted me to have surgery, and I, in all fairness, I probably needed it. So I guess I'm glad to be on the track fully now. But what was the other part of the question?
Like, what were the coaches and that staff saying? What you needed to do to actually get on the list? Did they say, "Oh, you need to do this if you want the contract"?
No, not really. I think the biggest thing, talking to the coaches, was again, it was just getting my body right in terms of my shoulder. So just being, you know, really diligent with my rehab and make sure I'm ticking those boxes. So, like I said before, there wasn't actually too much I could do in terms of physical work. So it was just making sure I'm checking in with the physios, doing as much conditioning as I could and what I could do. And then, yeah, just making sure my shoulder's getting more functional every day and I'm improving my mobility. So it was pretty straightforward on my end. I'm not too sure what they've said to Jermaine, but I just had to cope with my injury and make sure that was improving.
Yeah. Where were you at the time when you found out you've been picked, and who told you, and how have you settled in? So
yeah, I was, where was I? I think I was at the club. So we had, I think there was roughly 7 to 10 boys who were injured at the time. I remember it was a Friday morning, and ran into Darren Glass, and he told me that, Adam Simpson and Craig Vuzzo want to speak to me once I've finished in the rehab group doing our training session. And then, that's sort of when the news broke, and it was a pretty big relief, eh? Because again, I'd been in dialogue with them, leading up to the draft. So, although nothing was ever certain, I guess it'd been 4 months of trying to get my body right and trying to impress in order to, you know, get that spot on the list. And yeah, it was nice to finally actually be told that, you know, you've got the position.
Yeah. How much has your life changed since becoming a full-time professional athlete? And have you made any big changes both on and off the field to adapt to this new lifestyle?
Oh, I'd say, look, when you work full-time and then you suddenly go to, you know, a full-time professional athlete, it is going to change a fair bit. But I'm really enjoying it now that I've gotten used to, the lifestyle, and my body's sort of adapting to the training standards and weights and those sorts of things. I'm absolutely loving it. Life changed a lot in terms of, you know, I've had to give up my teaching. But again, you know, I'm super grateful for, you know, the opportunity West Coast have given me. And hopefully, whenever that's the case, we're all not too sure. But, you know, I'm looking forward to repaying the favour.
Yeah. So obviously, with the whole coronavirus situation, you're restricted to what you can and can't do with your programs and et cetera. How have you been keeping in shape and entertaining yourself?
Yeah, it's probably, in fairness, it's probably one of the fittest I've ever been. So we've sort of gone back to like a traditional pre-season sort of feel. So we're training Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the club's given us like a partner to team up with, just to make it, you know, a little bit easier, and obviously helps with when you want to do skills, bit of kicking and touch work and things like that. So, I'm pretty fortunate. I teamed up with Jack Darling, so... He's a bit of a freak athlete in terms of strength and his aerobic capacity. So, yeah, we're keeping pretty fit, and you know, I've got some sort of weight stuff I do at home, a bit of gym work there. So, yeah, I reckon the boys are going to come back in really good nick whenever this period's over. Hopefully, in the next month or so, we'll be back at the club.
Yeah. If you are allowed to say what your training schedule is like, just out of interest, is it just like, what is your weekly training schedule? Is it like running three times a week? Like what days so are you doing what?
We've got three sessions a week. So how we schedule them at the moment is we're just doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we might do like a swim or a bike on the weekend or on a Thursday or something like that. Both of three of those sessions being the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that'll be both cardio, a cardio session and ticking the legs over in terms of running. And then straight after that, I'll go home and I'll do my weights program that the club's given me on my online program. So, we're keeping in touch and, we're sort of trying to stay on top of our programs as much as possible because, again, you know, we're not too sure when we're going to be back. And, you know, I don't think the AFL's outlined just yet whether when we're back we're going to be, you know, into games after 3 weeks of training or 2 weeks or four. So we've got to stay in pretty good nick.
Yeah. And, like, who are your best mates at the club, and for people who may not know, like, who are the funnier guys or like ones around the group to have a laugh with?
Probably my closest mates would be Josh Rossum and Tom Barasso. Tommy, I've known for, we played in the under 13s and under 14s development programs together at Claremont, and then I think we played in the 16s too. So I've known Tom for a while and Rossi, I've known for, 5 or so years too. So they're probably the two boys that, my real close mates at the club. But I think what surprised me the most, not surprised me, but is just how strong the connection is. You know, everyone gets along with each other. Everyone, you know, includes each other, even from the get-go when I wasn't officially on the list. You know, you do feel a part of it when you're inside the four walls, which is really good. And probably who gives me the biggest laughs at the club? Tell you what, Flying Ryan's quite funny. He's a bit of a character. And Hamish Brayshaw, he's an interesting cat too. So those two boys are probably centre stage there.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that? I was saying yesterday the Nick Nat and Lewis Jetta.
Jetta's up there by a mile. They he's great. He's in terms of how he plays the game and how he trains, he's obviously very elite, but the fact that he can, you know, do that stuff and have a laugh, I reckon he's got the perfect blend. He's a great bloke.
Cool. Final one before the Instagram Q&A. Do you have any goals for this year if it does take place?
I have outlined, you know, a few goals I'd like to tick off. First of all was the shoulder and getting that right, and I reckon I'm, you know, nearing 100% in terms of getting range back and that sort of thing. But turning 25 at the end of the year, at the end of the day, my goal is to play. And you know, having a sort of 1 year deal and a lot of uncertainty around, when we're going to play and what the season looks like and those sorts of things. You know, for me, I want to play as many games as possible, whether that's 3, 5, 10, whatever. You know, I want to fill a role in the team, and whenever that is or wherever that is, that's my main goal.
Yeah. What do you think your main best position is?
I'd say I float between a deep like a forward pocket or a half forward. But I'd mainly say if I had to, I had to pick a position where I play my best footy at would be half forward.
Yeah. All right, now we move on to the questions off Instagram. So thanks to everyone who sent them in. Keep up to date at CineSquare Podcast. But first question, I assume you know who this is, Nick. Jack Ogroman, I believe.
O'Gorman,
he's 16.
Yeah,
O'Gorman. My bad. What impact has Mark Seeby had on your career and life? And what advice has he given you over the years?
Yes, good old Jack. This was way back in, when was this year? 2013. We're playing North Beach Colts. I think Jack was the vice captain there. I don't know what's happened to his career there ever since. But I think Mark Seeby came down to the club and did a speech, and I was very young. I think I was 17, a bit of a smart ass, and I think that's the question I asked him or something about that, and I don't know what he replied, but a couple of the boys got a laugh out of it, and that's it, pretty much.
Yeah. This one is from Samson.Wheeler. You touched on it before, but first reaction when you got picked up?
Probably relieved, and I guess not disbelief, but I was surprised in terms of I didn't think it was going to happen due to, you know, only playing, I think, 15 Waffle games last year and it being my first year of Waffle and probably being the age I am. So, yeah, I'd probably say surprised and pretty relieved too.
Our next question from at Sam Halley 4. Who was your favourite student at Karan?
Sam. Yeah, Sam, I taught at, when did I teach Sam? Year 10, soccer. 2018. Favorite student at Karan. Oh, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a favorite, but look, I'm not going to say Sam's number one, but Sam's certainly up there. We can say that.
There you go.
Oh yeah, you go for me.
Yeah. Next one. The real James Reed. What's more challenging, training at West Coast or with Arlo?
Arlo's my dog, so Arlo, without a doubt, he pushes me to my limits like I've never been pushed before.
There you go.
This one from Penguin Pangili, 21, again, touching on the teaching. Were you a good teacher?
Again, taught Lockie last year, so I reckon I'd be inclined to ask him, was I a good teacher?
Next one from at Was a King. Are you meeting up with anyone to train in pairs? And with the game looking like having on game day and on the bench, do you think you're a chance to get some game time?
Again, I think I touched on that earlier. So Jack Darling is my training partner. Meeting up with him three days a week and doing our sessions, like I said. And with playing with a, I guess, you know, the media are coming out with a fair amount of things at the moment, you know, that being bigger interchange benches and all of those things. I'm not too sure. Again, I'll put, you know, my best foot forward to play and I'll try to push my case every single week. But yeah, for me, I'm definitely hoping to play a handful of games this year. That's the goal.
Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Next one's from Richard Nugan, I think it is. Have you ever thought of going by Nicholas Reed instead?
Is that with the H?
Yes.
Mum wasn't too happy when the Eagles put up their picture of me about getting signed and it had the spelling incorrect. Nicholas with a H a lot, so I might just change my name to Nick Reed. Hopefully there'll be no dramas there.
Yeah. And this is the final one from Helen Witheridge. Who are your favourite supporters from your old club? I think They're touching on North Beach.
Yeah, North Beach. So Helen used to be, or not used to be, sorry. So Helen is our captain's mum. So Bo Witheridge, who's one of the greats at North Beach. So yeah, they were pretty, Helen and Sin Witheridge were pretty big supporters of mine. And in terms of supporters, did definitely have my favourites. And yeah, those two provided me with a lot of support over the years when I was at North Beach. So I can't go past those two, definitely.
Yeah, well, that's going to wrap up the show. Thanks to everyone for sending in the questions, but thanks to Noah and Ethan for coming along on the phone, and especially to Nick for joining us, and all the best for the future.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Pleasure to be on. Thanks,
Thank
boys.
You.
Cheers.
Make sure to check out the Instagram and Facebook for the next episode coming up on the Centre Square podcast. But until then, you've been listening to Sport FM 91.3, your football headquarters. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for your company and stay safe.